All right, I'm going to take ourselves off of mute. Next thing we're going to hear is the music. What is up, Level Up Nation? Welcome to episode 161 of the Level Up Podcast, your home for gaming and esports news, brought to you by the Overtime Network. My name is John, and I am joined by the only person above the age of 16 who is in love with Justin Bieber's new album, Joey. Why, Joey? It's a terrible album. Why are you still a Belieber?
I don't know if this makes me a bad person or not, but I did not know he released a new album. I had absolutely no idea.
Wow.
I don't even remember any of his albums outside of that baby thing.
Wow, that was like 10 years ago.
That shows how much Justin Bieber I keep up with. He also did wasn't he on one of those Spanish songs too?
Despacito, that was like absolutely polluting the airwaves a couple like
there you go.
Tubes.
See, that's about the most recent Justin Bieber thing I remember.
You know what, Joe, you consider yourself lucky. It was all over my freaking Spotify today, and I'll tell you what, I gave it a shot. I don't know why. Not a fan.
What do you listen to pull Justin Bieber music?
It's the paid ads on the top banner of Spotify that have all the new hot and poppin' artists.
That would do it.
Not a huge fan, especially after that single Yummy, that where he says Yummy like 18 times in a row and calls it like an actual song. No clue what that is about.
Banelings, man.
Bailey, dude. That
the little StarCraft parody. That's the way to go.
That was so old school. Nation, follow Joey's hot takes on music on Twitter. Follow him at Courtside King. While you're at it, go ahead and give me a follow at Fiasco as well. And why not follow the show? I mean, you're already listening / watching if you're here live on Twitch. We're on Twitter, Instagram, and the Facebooks, a.k.a. Boomerville. You can find us at the Level Up Podcast. That's at the LVLUP Podcast. There's nothing wrong with boomers out there. It's okay. You guys can listen too. And follow along with all the Level Up shenanigans throughout the week. And who knows, maybe you might get a little sneak peek into the inside of what we're going to be talking about on the upcoming episodes. And Nation, while you are at it, why not leave us a review on your podcatcher of choice? If you're not watching here live on Twitch, you're listening on a podcast. That's our bread and butter. That is where this whole incredible thing started, is on podcatchers. Leave us a review on that podcatcher of choice. Reviews do go a long way in helping grow the listening audience. We would appreciate that. We are now available on Spotify, Stitcher, as well as iTunes and Google Play. So just take a small moment out of your day. You know what? During your lunch break, while you're on the playground at recess, at your lunch break in high school, wherever you're at, maybe in between comp games in League of Legends or Overwatch, it only takes like 15 seconds to leave an awesome review. We would appreciate any review that you would like to leave. 4 stars or above, please. But we're going to set the bar there at 4 stars. Nation, the streaming wars are continuing as two big stars sign deals on platforms not named Twitch. Joey, aside from the it feels like the civil war here of stream platforms, what else are we talking about on episode 161 this week?
John, first things first, the whole reviewing thing, guys, seriously, it helps us out a lot if you can go leave those reviews. Like John said, 4 stars or above would be preferred, but if you want to drop something low, we'd love to take the advice, especially constructive criticism. Now, with that being said, that between league matches thing, maybe not the time to leave a review. If you're on a win streak, sure, yes, consider it. But if you're a little tilted, maybe hold it off till after your gaming session. Other than that, John, news this week, we are talking quite a bit about those streamers. On top of that, we have some new deals, especially in the high school esports space, as far as like League of Legends and a few other games we talked about last week. We're talking a lot about the cloud-based gaming. We have Microsoft, we have NVIDIA GeForce Now releasing this past week, Google Stadia obviously still out there. This is another good one to hit on, is Ubisoft. One of their new games that might have been teased last week on the episode, we now have a title and a theme for it, so we'll be breaking that down, as well as diving headfirst into Overwatch League action and League of Legends action from this past week.
Joey, I don't know how we're going to do it. I feel like I say that every week, and I'm always amazed when the episode is less than 4 hours long, because it feels like there's just so much to talk about in the world of esports. So we're going to need a little assistance to speed this up. which makes no sense because when we talk about the drink of choice, it's normally alcohol and that usually slows things down. Joey, I am talking about the drink of choice for the 161st time. I need your beverage that's going to aid you through this amazing episode.
John, I am drinking sparkling water.
Oh.
But I have a reason.
No.
So, guys, I somehow injured my wrist. Yeah, good times. So I've been on painkillers. I just got off today, and I decided to celebrate with having a charcuterie board with my wife and a bunch of wine. We went through a bottle of wine this afternoon with some wine and cheese, and I am not going to drink any more wine today because I don't want to overdo it now that I'm finally off painkillers, and some are still in my system. So,
okay,
take it easy tonight.
For myself and the rest of the listening audience has no idea what in the world you just said. You had what with wine? A what board?
A charcuterie board. John, as a new wine drinker, this is something you need to learn very soon here, buddy. It's pretty much, think of a board with like different types of cheeses. Some of them include meats. Some have olives, nuts, stuff like that. So okay. We had a little snack after our budget planning and some wine.
I'm not going to lie. For a second, I thought I was going to have to turn on the mature content filter on Twitch.
Oh, hey.
I wasn't quite sure what you were talking about.
Joey. We're going to go get a charcuterie board, John. You and I.
Yikes.
And a bottle of wine.
Is that
we'll make
even
it happen.
Legal? You know what? I'm not even going to go there. Joey, I am not on painkillers, and even if I was, do not take my advice. I'm having wine. The one thing that you've already indulged in today, unlike you, Joey, I had to work on President's Day. So I am kicking back after a nice gym session with Intrinsic. It's a wine, again, based out of Washington. This is their red blend.
Can I see that label, though? Is that a dragon or a bird?
No,
or what
so
is that?
It's a street artist from New York. It's a lady in a red dress with blue hair. It's kind of baller. I'm not going to lie, though.
Oh, now I see it. Okay.
The label's
kind of
really
got like that Evelyn look from that one skin.
Sure. 51% Malbec, 49% Cabernet Franc. So it's actually my first time trying it. It's a bottle I've been wanting to try. Picked it up. It was a great deal. Vino is an amazing wine app if you are of age. Tells you when all the great sales go on. Delicious.
Okay.
That is actually really good.
Yeah, we're going to play this game. Oh, I can't drag and drop this? Are you serious?
Joey, I am straight up drinking this entire bottle. But Joey, are you ready? Or it looks like you might be doing something.
Well, I was going to try to put this picture in here, but apparently that's not something easy to do today for me. Here we go. Okay, this is the picture I was talking about. Evelyn from League of Legends. Here, I'll post it in chat. Chat is popping tonight, as we can already see.
Is that
what I'm talking about. This looks like that label to me, just the blue skin's a little
off.
Here,
I'm just going to drag it over your face here, right there. Courtside King is talking about this. If you look in his box, if you're watching here live on Twitch, it is currently showing.
Is that not close to that label? Like, obviously, the skin tone's a little different picture to picture, but I was pretty close.
The label has blue hair. Her body is blue on that skin, which is a little weird. It's almost like she's dead.
Close enough. Close enough.
Joey, enough about my wine label. I think we need to kick this show off because we got some amazing topics. Let's go ahead and kick it off with gaming and esports news. Let's go!
John, kicking things off, CSGO. We've seen tons of movement in CSGO from coaching staff to players to really new teams being added, some teams being moved over to other organizations. This is an interesting move. So we have former Fnatic coach, Jumpy, coming in as the new head coach for North. North is kind of one of those up-and-coming CSGO teams. They've had some great moments. They've had some not-so-great moments. They're trying to find their footing again. Jumpy's one of those coaches who found success on Fnatic for a while. He did really well. They won... I think it was Wesca they won under Jumpy in China, and that was Golden as the in-game leader. Then Golden went away. They ended up changing some coaching staff here, so and now we're back. We see Jumpy moving back to the scene, going with North, which is one of those really organizations that has a lot of, I would say, somewhat appeal, but also like they're hungry. They want to win. They want to invest in those resources, in those players, in that coaching staff to eventually become a successful organization. So I like this move for Jumpy. I think he's a great coach. I think the issue with Fnatic was just they ended up outdoing each other in a sense. Like they tried, they did well for a few tournaments. After a certain amount of time, the players being a number of veteran players as well as rookies on the team, the roster moves were not working. The coaching staff they thought might need a change. So they brought Samuelson in. Now we see Jumpy again, a new organization. I think the experience is still there in the coaching aspect, and I expect this to be a good move for both parties.
Yeah, solid move for North adding a veteran. like jumpy. I think that's a solid move for North, kind of bouncing back there. And I think, I mean, both parties will benefit out of this, like you said, Joey. So I think it's a great move for both North and jumpy.
Now, sticking with Fnatic, again, this is a little bit of an older coach move for Fnatic with CSGO, but in Fortnite, this is very recent. Fnatic has cut ties with its Fortnite players. John, this is something we continue to see more and more with Battle Royale titles. It feels like a lot of different organizations are adding PUBG mobile teams, but as far as Fortnite or Apex goes, they're starting to cut back. They're either going the streamer route, or they're cutting competitive rosters. They're just not really finding a place for these BR titles in esports as cleanly as they have with other games like League of Legends, CSGO, Dota 2. So Fnatic being one of those premier organizations, this is a very big deal for Epic. Now, Epic at the same point, they have very much made it clear that they see esports very differently than everyone else. They have said, we are going to do our thing. It's going to be competitive competition. It is not going to be organization-based. When you look at a League of Legends or CSGO, it is all org-based. So Battle Royales have tried to find their footing with this, and PUBG does it more similarly to what we see in traditional esports, but Fortnite very much is just a single competitor. This is the player. This is what he's competing for. Not this player is represented by this organization and this is what they're doing. Those organizations really have to push their balance with that player to show that they are aligned with that player. Fnatic is done with doing that. They want to help Epic grow the scene. They want to help build the Fortnite roster for Fnatic. But so far, from an organizational standpoint, unless your players are winning tournaments regularly, the return is just not there. So from these big organizations, and I think Liquid is another one we've seen go back and forth as far as another like top five level organization, what do we expect to see with BRs as we continue to go forward if orgs are not getting the representation they need to really, I would say, justify continuing to pay these players what they're asking?
Yeah, and, you know, Joey, you hit the nail on the head on so many different points there. It's easy to point the finger at Epic and say, hey, look, this is a Fortnite issue. People are cutting Fortnite teams. But really, like you said, Joey, it is more of the trend with those Battle Royale games. You know, let's turn back the clock 8-9 months ago, maybe even a year ago, and it felt like almost every other episode here, Joey, we were talking about another Battle Royale game. In fact, there's still a lot of titles out there that are kind of teasing that they might go the Battle Royale route. It was an area of gaming that became so incredibly saturated that people just got burnt out. Fortnite came out as the big winner. Apex kind of contended for a while, wasn't able to knock Fortnite out. Fortnite was able to adapt and adjust what they needed to do to really go back after Apex. Now, we can also make the argument that EA kind of shot themselves in the foot a little bit. True. But the problem is everything's so saturated and Fortnite is such a huge competition, or not competition, but like competitor to all these other titles, that it's almost impossible to beat, you know, Fortnite in this case. And then when you have a developer like Epic who has come out and said, hey, look, we know we're the best Battle Royale title out there. We know we have the money. We know we have the viewers and the gamers who want to play this game and watch this game. But we just don't care that much about esports. So we're going to kind of censor all organization titles, logos, and all this other fun stuff. And we're just going to kind of, you know, just do it our own way versus what the rest of the world thinks. And that's a huge, huge issue. I mean, when some of the smaller organizations dropped out because obviously they weren't able to pay for the exposure that they need of those players and have that exposure come back because obviously Epic censored them, you know, that's one thing. But now you have these legacy organizations like Fnatic dropping their Fortnite rosters because there is no return on investment. That's really what it comes down to, is these organizations don't mind spending money and losing money up front to be involved in a scene as long as there's some kind of payback, some kind of return on that investment, whether it is monetary or whether it's marketing, whether it's their logo being out there, their name being said multiple times, or their player winning. That's what organizations are looking for. And when Epic says, no, we're not doing that because we care more about our general gamers than the esports scene, but yet we're still going to have an esports scene, mixed communication, no surprise that Fnatic, a legendary organization, dropping out of the scene now.
Right, and this is one of my worries going forward with Fortnite as well, because now you have Nate Nancer over there, and I like Nate. I think he has a good vision for what esports scenes could become, but if you look at the Overwatch League, it was all local-based. It was all city-based. So now with him moving over there with Rocket League, with Fortnite under his titles, are we eventually going to see this become city-based? Or at least in this sense, are we not going to see organizations respected like we should, in a sense? Like, if you look at even the Overwatch League or Call of Duty League, there's a number of organizations in there that you really don't know the org's names. London Spitfire. How many of you guys out there know that's owned by Cloud9? I don't feel like people that don't really look into esports that much would actually know that. They would think it's just a London-based organization. And unless you actually dove into that team's history and dove into that team's ownership, you might not necessarily know that's linked to a world-class esports organization. This is my issue with people that approach this way. Again, I don't have an issue with localization. I think there's a lot of positives that could come out of it. But at the same point, I think it just needs to be done with respect to the organizations as well. And Call of Duty League started to do that a little bit with the way they handled Optic and FaZe. At the same point, now with Epic, with Fortnite being one of the biggest titles out there, at least in the gaming universe, maybe not in the esports universe yet, or maybe never, but it's out there. It's very popular. It pulls in tons and tons of money, pulls in tons and tons of players and viewership. I want to see it do very well, and I want organizations to find a return in it. If organizations start pulling people, then it's just going to be a game with streamers, and that's fine. If that's really what they want, I think it can become that. But at the same point, I think allowing organizations in could help Fortnite last even longer on the timeline, similar to what we see with Riot Games and League of Legends. I'm going to say right now, and I could be wrong, but if League of Legends did not have the pro scene it does, I don't know if we would continue to see the healthy growth that we do year over year. Same with CSGO. The games are very fun. The games are very popular. But I do think having that many pro personalities as well as organizations involved that continue to throw your game out there, that continue to talk about it with all these apparel deals and logistics deals and, I mean, really any peripheral. If you're playing Logitech, if you're playing Corsair, it's linked to an organization, which is linked to a player, which is most likely linked to one of these games as well. So with this whole universe and interchanging webs, I really think it helps to allow the orgs to have their names out there and to continue to feel support and want to put money into the scene and into the players. Now, if you take that away, if you're not going to allow that, why am I going to keep paying for a player if I can't throw my Fnatic logo out there? If it can't be Fnatic, whoever it is, Nifox was one of their recent players. Like, if I can't say his name while I'm playing it, or I can't show my logo on his gear or whatever, I don't feel the return, and I feel like that's what a lot of these world-class organizations are starting to feel right now, and it's one of those decisions Fortnite's really going to have to make here in recent times, at least coming up. Now, I don't want to spend too much more on this, but they do make a ton of money, John. We both know that. It's no secret to anyone, and Fortnite could sustain without these organizations, at least for the near future. But I'm thinking long-term, if they really want this to last long-term, especially as an esports scene, we do need to see some more love for organizations out there. Moving on to streaming, John. Okay, everyone is signing these big-name streamers. You have Disguised Toast. You have tons and tons of streamers going. Obviously, Ninja and Shroud being two of the bigger deals. You have Courage going over to YouTube and so on and so forth. Now we're starting to dive a little past streamers. We've started to pull in professional athletes. The most recent ones, we have Drake, a music artist, signing a multi-year partnership with live streaming platform Caffeine, and then we have Ronda Rousey signing an exclusive streaming deal with Facebook Gaming. We have now entered the future of the streaming wars, John. We are beyond gamers, beyond esports athletes and pros. We are now moving into pop culture. Now, the interesting thing with this, at least for me, is video games in general completely blew out the music and movie industries this past year combined. Completely blew them out. So I like the fresh take here from Caffeine and Facebook Gaming trying different things, trying to hit into people like Drake and Ronda Rousey who have pretty good followings already, especially Drake. I mean, the music industry definitely has some big, big stars out there. At the same point, if we really look at the baseline revenue, they are moving away from where more of the revenue is moving towards. So I like the idea in trying to stay fresh, trying to stay different. At the same point, I think they might be moving away from where they need to end up.
Yeah, you know, it's... So Drake streaming is nothing new. He's been on with Ninja. He's been on with a lot of other, we'll just say cultural icons, whether they're gamers or Hollywood celebs, whether they're A-list, B-list, C-list, D-list. You know, he's been on with a lot of different people on streaming platforms. Seeing him on Caffeine, one, good for Caffeine. Almost forgot they existed. So solid for them. Drake, I've heard he's not exactly the best gamer out there, but, you know, I'll give it to him. People are going to watch him not because he's playing video games. People are going to watch him because they want to dive a little bit more into the world of Drake. Well, what is it like being Drake? You know, this, you know, guy who came up as a child actor on a Canadian TV show, Degrassi, and parlaying that career into a rap and R&B career, and almost a cultural icon, if you will. It's going to be interesting to see if this is going to be... forgot E-List. Yeah, thank you. Thank you, Twitch chat. you know, it's going to be interesting to see, is this going to be more of a gaming stream for Drake, or is this going to be more of like an IRL? Like, you know, take a peek into the life of Drake. I think that would probably get more viewers than him gaming. Now, he's not the first, you know, musical artist to do this. Brendan Urie of Panic at the Disco streams on Twitch all the time. He's not exclusive on Twitch, but that's where he streams. He plays games with fans, with other artists like Tyler Joseph of 21 Pilots. They're good friends, and they stream and play video games, mainly Fortnite, together. Sometimes they do like a little duet, you know, on their stream also. So it's some interesting content. Ronda Rousey, a WWE superstar turned MMA fighter, still somewhat of a cultural icon for female wrestlers and female entertainers, taking her talents also to Facebook gaming. Now, I will not go into Facebook gaming, why I think that's a horrible, horrible move for anybody who wants to get into streaming, but it's still a good move for people who follow, I would argue, MMA and WWE. WWE has a massive following. I get that. She's going to get a lot of followers that way too. But the issue here is Facebook gaming. The numbers that I've seen, not very impressive. Is it a good step? Probably. But Facebook gaming, I still have a lot of issues with. But hey, for Ronda Rousey, it's a good paycheck to be streaming on a quasi-dead platform.
Okay, if I'm looking at this, I think comparing Drake and Ronda Rousey, very, very different parties, I think Drake pulls in more viewers. Now, with that being said, the way Caffeine is set up versus the way Facebook gaming is set up, I think this helps promote Facebook gaming a bit more. Like I said, the viewers, Drake is definitely going to pull in more. But if you look at the way Facebook's running, they're starting to run more of that Instagram lifestyle. They're starting to do those IRL streams. I think something with Ronda Rousey in that sense could help promote Facebook gaming more, especially if they continue to tie Instagram and Facebook together more and more with the way they lay it out. Like now when you load into Instagram, which I'm terrible at using, by the way, they now have Facebook. So now people know it is linked with Facebook. Before it was purely Instagram, and then in little small print it said Facebook. Now when you actually load it in, it says it. So I think as they continue to integrate those two more and more, having athletes, having musicians, having bigger names out there in the entertainment industry, actors, actresses as well, I think this is going to help promote something like that Facebook gaming. And maybe they even rename Facebook gaming to Facebook live streaming or Instagram streaming. They just link the two completely. So for me, long term, I think this could be the bigger move for Facebook. For Caffeine, I think it's going to bring in short term. It's going to continue to bring people in while he is streaming. But once Drake is gone, I don't know if those people stick around on Caffeine.
Yeah, and shout out to Squirrel in chat. Ronda Rousey went MMA, then WWE. I had it backwards, so my apologies.
I thought she started MMA. I didn't know she was in the WWE, though.
Yeah, I don't think she's like a mainliner or anything like that, but I do know she like kind of like did a sidestep in that career. I don't know. I don't watch WWE.
I know she's one person I would not want to be in a cage with.
I would not want to like... like breathe in the wrong direction with her walking by, because she would absolutely whoop my butt. It's as simple as that.
Moving forward to partnerships and investments from this past week, guys, we have National Student Esports and Tencent Gaming partnering up to bring the PUBG Mobile Campus Championship to the UK. It's going to be a 5,000 pound prize pool. A little different than dollars there, slight different conversion rate. And we are looking at a slot in the PUBG Mobile Club Open for the fall split being on the line as well, and swag for all the top 16 teams. John, again, I like this move. PUBG Mobile is something you and I have questioned over and over. There's one thing we can't question, that is Tencent. Tencent continues to roll in the dough. They seem to find ways to do it over and over and over. When you look at the PUBG Mobile scene, it's not the biggest thing here in North America. It's not the biggest thing in South America. It's not even the biggest thing in Europe. But when you look at Asia, PUBG continues to grow, especially on the mobile platform. It's pulling in more and more players month by month. It has more hours by those players being played. It's just, its numbers continue to go up and up and up. And that's just how Asia does it with games sometimes. When they catch on to a trend, it will just climb and climb and climb until it ends. Some, like League of Legends, just might never end. So We'll have to see how that continues to develop. But overall, I really like this move. I think if you're going to look at continuing to build upon that PUBG Mobile scene and the success you've seen in India and throughout the rest of Asia, I like the idea of slowly moving it across. Maybe not go straight to North America where you're competing with big time with Fortnite and Apex. Why not slowly move it into Europe? Where some, yeah, Fortnite's popular, Apex is popular, but Battle Royales in general have not taken on as much as they have in North America or in Asia. So start bringing that market into Europe. I really like this move. I think partnering here with the Campus Championship is a great, great move for Tencent and PUBG. In partnership with Riot Games, because League of Legends, like I said, continues to grow over and over. I've heard this pronounced two different ways. The Riot Games staff actually said play VS. I always thought it was Play Versus before that, but whatever you want to call them, they're an awesome organization. They are now the exclusive provider of high school League of Legends. This is something big, John. When you look at a lot of these collegiate esports and high school esports programs, Heroes of the Dorm under Heroes of the Storm was extremely popular at the collegiate level. It was one of the first ones out there really getting national television. I know it was on ESPN, but I think it might have been on ABC or NBC as well at one point. So it got a ton of coverage, and Heroes of the Storm was a much smaller game than League of Legends. Now you have League of Legends coming out here. The collegiate scene is developed with ULOL. Now you're starting to see more and more in the high school level. We have friends that play. We have people on the OTN Discord server. That is discord.me/OTN, by the way. Shameless plug. Go ahead and check that out. But there's a lot of different developing high school esports scenes. I think League of Legends is one of the better games to do it in just because the player base is already so huge. Now you're partnering with an organization that already has its feet on the ground in high schools. They've already started developing tons of relationships at the high school level with superintendents, with school boards. Now allow them to push the biggest gaming title out there right now with the biggest esport high school organization. I think this is a match made in heaven.
Yeah, I love it. Video games, competitive video games in high school is a growing market. Play Versus has kind of been there from the beginning. They've kind of cared for it, nursed it a little bit, raised it up to where it is, and now partnering up with Riot Games is absolutely massive. League of Legends, Joey, like you said, the game doesn't go away. It just keeps growing and growing and growing, regardless of what you think about the community that plays it. It is a game that has found something that people are just attracted to. And with Play Versus or Play VS, I think it's better. I think it sounds better. It's Play Versus. Partnering with Riot Games, massive, massive for the high school scene. Now if we can just get more high schools to buy into the idea of esports and get more esport clubs. Look, I'm not asking for every school in the nation to make it a varsity sport right away. I understand there's still some question marks, but the least you can do is make a club. I'm pretty sure there's teachers out there that are willing to support that club and to nurture it into a massive program. I mean, Joey, like you said, we've got people in the OTN community Discord that are playing, you know, high school League of Legends that are being scouted for the collegiate scene. I mean, this is a market that has so much untapped potential in it that it's absolutely fascinating that no one else has really jumped into the scene. Kudos to Play Versus and Riot Games for partnering up. I think this is going to be absolutely fantastic and going to help grow the high school scene incredibly quick.
Now, I know we have a few teachers out there that listen to the podcast, and I think one of the biggest things I would say, from what I've heard, and I've talked about this on a few sport podcasts before, the biggest argument is, well, we don't want these kids sitting around playing video games. We want them playing sports. We want them getting involved in other clubs. My argument is, these kids are going to go play video games anyway. If they're not out there already playing sports, if they're not out there doing theater club, they're going to go home and play video games, whether it be with friends, whether it be by themselves. They're going to go do what they want to do. That's their hobby. That's their passion. If you're the school, why not allow that to be a healthy environment to be adapted into? Why not bring them together as a team, allow them to find friends with like-minded attitudes? Maybe eventually they have a friend on that team and on a sport team, and they end up playing a sport because of it as well. Or maybe they just continue to find friends and nurture those friendships at a healthier place and healthier level with maybe a dedicated coach as well in a high school environment. This allows you to keep an eye on the kids if you think they could be in some kind of trouble. This allows you to have them build better relationships, which could eventually be something like a suicide prevention type of thing as well. Plus, it allows that fostering of that coaching mentality. It allows them to continue to build up leadership skills in school. It allows them to continue that hardworking and thinking mentality. Like, there is so much strategy that goes into a game of League of Legends where they might not pay attention during math class, but if you talk about League of Legends, it might allow them to start functioning and thinking more in that math style. just because they're adding up how much damage they can do in a certain amount of time. Or maybe it's allowing those team communication skills to continue to further, and that'll help them eventually in the workplace. Like, there are so many positive aspects that could come from having a club or a varsity sport at a high school level for esports. So I just think it's something that at least the general public and our boomer friends out there need to be a little bit more welcoming to. Like, even if you don't think it's great up top, maybe go to a convention, maybe go to a conference, maybe talk to John and I or someone else. There are tons of resources out there, tons of people willing to talk about the possible benefits of things like this. And in the end, if you decide it's not for your school, if you decide it's not for your students, then you make that decision. But at least you finally have the points out there. You have the different arguments that can be had, because I really think there are a ton of positives. And just because of that negative stigma of a decade ago of esports and video games in general, and how they cause violence if you look at certain politicians and things, it's not necessarily the case. If you look at studies, it's linked, or it's not even linked. Oxford has done a number of studies on it. There's a number of positive studies out there as well, as far as how it can help your body with esports and gaming, with just your regular mechanics, which I'm not a good example of right now. But there are a number of good studies out there as far as like how it can help mechanically, how it can help your eyesight, how it can help fast thinking and decision making is another big one. So there's a number of benefits, both as yourself, as a person, as a player in a team, in many different aspects. So, and I'm sure you have some stuff to say on this as well, John, but I really like the idea that we're seeing more of these partnerships partner up and happen, and I want to see more high schools looking into it at least.
Yeah, and I'll just wrap it up real quick, because Joey, you took 99% of the words out of my mouth. If there's one thing I can say on the positive aspect of esports in high school, Joey, you and I are a very rare breed. And that breed is, we are both people who grew up playing sports outside. We, you know, we played football, we played basketball competitively, like in leagues and for our schools. And we also played video games. You know, I remember coming home after practice, you know, after I cleaned up, did homework, I played video games on weekends when I didn't go outside and, you know, practice or run or work out. I played video games. I met up with friends and played video games. I played online. It's something you're going to do regardless. And the stereotype, like you said, Joey, it needs to go away, because that stereotype doesn't really exist. We're seeing it. Pro athletes play video games competitively online in their free time. You know, a lot of people, like, it's all of a sudden it's no longer taboo to talk about. And more people are coming out as, oh my gosh, gamers. And you know, it's absolutely insane watching the last, you know, 10 years, seeing how gaming culture has become more accepted. And the one thing I really want to hit on is, with that acceptance, aside from the physical aspect of what sports can bring to the person, I want to talk a little bit more about the mental aspect and the community aspect. The same thing that people say, hey, look, I want my kid to play football. I want my kid to play hockey, soccer, basketball, baseball, whatever sport. Because it will teach them teamwork, communication, you know, learning how to depend on other people's abilities and, you know, letting your ability shine where you excel over theirs and vice versa. Same thing in esports. That's one of the beautiful thing about gaming is you have different roles that you can play. I am a terrible top laner in League of Legends. I can support, you know, an ADC, I can support, you know, I can gank mid lane, but don't put me in the jungle and don't put me in top lane. You know, I know what my skill set is. And I know, in like, you learn how to communicate with that. Same thing. You go to a gaming convention, a lot of people look at them as like as a bunch of nerds coming together. But I would argue this, there are more people that are happy to be there with the quote unquote rejects of the world, if you will, and spend a weekend there. Like, this past weekend was KatsuCon here in Washington, D.C., Joey. And that place is always packed and so accepting of people, regardless of any differences you possibly have. But yeah, you can go to a sporting event, and if you cheer for a different team, or if you look out of place, you can get heckled, you can get bullied, you can get, you know, pushed out. Gaming has become more accepted, and the community is more open-minded versus more of the traditional side. So it's just kind of interesting to see how the roles are kind of changing now with the acceptance of video gaming. And I think With more high schools getting involved with it, whether it's clubs or varsity, it's only going to be even better because you're going to be reaching that population that may be too afraid to go out and play a sport, or that maybe they're just not interested in playing a sport. Maybe they want to do theater. Maybe they want to do JROTC. Maybe they want to do band. Maybe they want to do something else that's not physically demanding. Let esports be an option because it's the same benefit as all of those other clubs.
Right, and just to go along with your point, there might be heckling at esports events, so let's just make that clear. Well, there's going to be some fun and different things here, but as far as like the overall gaming community, I would have to agree. I think it's just more accepting, and we've seen it over and over with different events that we've been to, as well as just different tournaments we've competed in and such and so forth. Also, you're not that bad at top in League of Legends. Don't even give me that.
I'm pretty bad at top.
You're not that bad.
Unless I'm on Ornn or my one-trick Malzahar, I can't do it. It's fine.
I don't think you're that bad. But, I mean, that brings up another point. Not your League of Legends skills, but also, like, team communication. Like, for example, so I was an in-game leader for a Call of Duty team at one point, and I played a lot. I was a very high DPS level player at that. And I grew as a player, and my team grew as a team because we were able to give each other constructive feedback. And this was at a high school level. It was not affiliated with the high school, but it was something I played in high school. Now you look at League of Legends nowadays, I'm like, oh, I'm a DPS in every shooter game. I might as well play DPS in League of Legends. Well, 3 to 4 years later, I realize I'm a terrible ADC, and that's why I can't climb. So after some communication, after realizing I need another role where I can jump in and be a better in-game leader for my team, I ended up transitioning to support. Without those conversations, I don't know if I ever would have made that move. And already since making that move, I'm up 2 tiers completely. I've moved from bronze to gold. I'm almost going to be plat this year probably. So it's one of those things where having those communication or having that channel of communication open, having that constructive criticism from teammates can be very beneficial, as can it from a coach. So anything at a high school level, anything at a collegiate level, I would even argue before that, we have great friends up at the Game Gym in Maryland, where they're continuing to build players up at an even younger age than high school, and they're allowing those players to develop in healthy environments, learn that team communication early on, as well as to excel in their own skills in those games like they want to as their hobby or their passion. It's just there's so many great aspects that can come from teaching youth these skills early on, and esports and gaming can be a great channel to do so. Okay, we got to transition over, though, John, because we've talked about this for quite a bit, and this might be one way to crunch our topics up a bit and move on with the LEC. They're welcoming Pringles as the official savory snack partner, and that is in quotes, guys, savory snack partner of the 2020 Spring Split. So not a long-term deal here, but we see the LEC continuing to make great, unique sponsorships. It feels like they have a new one every single week. I like bringing Pringles on. If you're a gamer, snacks are definitely a thing out there that you want to do. Everyone eats snacks. But gamers love snacks themselves, and I think Pringles is a great signing here for the LEC.
I think they missed an opportunity here, Joey. Through my marketing genius that is my brain, Pringles, what's their slogan? Once you pop, you can't stop. Feeding, once you pop, you can't stop. It's perfect. You know, let's say, you know, Reckless is feeding, knock on wood, you know, that would never happen. Well, let's say he was like, oh, Reckless with his 18th death in 10 minutes. Oh, looks like he's feeding. Once he popped, he couldn't stop. This feeding streak brought to you by Pringles. It's perfect. The official savory snack partner is just weird. But I like it.
Is that still their slogan?
Once you pop, you can't stop? I mean, it'd be crazy to change it.
I haven't heard that in years, but maybe it is.
I haven't seen a commercial for Pringles in
years. They had one during the Super Bowl, I think.
I go to show you how much I paid attention.
Heyo. But yeah, I mean, you could have people popping off too, like with kill streaks and different things like that. There's definitely potential, but John, I think they used up all that potential with the whole Kit Kat deal this year.
Yeah.
I love that one. Take a break, Kit Kat. Xbox, they've also made some nice partnerships here. We have them partnering up with Air Jordan. Nothing super big. I think it's just the fact we see two really big brands coming together. They're doing a custom console design. It's based on an Air Jordan shoebox type of thing. It looks cool. It's fancy. Again, it's not going to be a super long-term amazing deal, but it is kind of cool out there.
And it's not Louis Vuitton.
It is not Louis Vuitton, but it will cost quite a bit of money, I'm sure.
Yeah, probably.
Xbox has also partnered up with veteran nonprofit OSD to improve mental health and wellness. Microsoft is set to match $250,000 through a matching gift challenge there. This is one thing that I really think we got to credit Microsoft for. They have continued to give back to a lot of different communities. They've done a great job in the mental health area. They've done a great job with military veterans, and they've done a great job with handicapped gamers. They continue to show their commitment to all of those different things year over year. This is just another way they continue to do that. And people can hate on Microsoft. People can love Sony and vice versa, and there's the console wars and all that good stuff. But one thing that I think both companies do very well is the way they support groups. Microsoft here with another great level of support.
Yeah, and you know, when it comes to mental health, and especially you know, our armed troops, regardless, put politics aside, you know, these are people who, you know, come back from a really bad situation overseas, and they're not the same person. You know, I come from a military family. I have a lot of friends in the military, and you can see that person change, and it's heartbreaking because it's not the same person you grew up knowing. It's not the same person that you knew, and it's hard to be there for them because it's hard to understand what they may have gone through. And through organizations like Microsoft, you know, partnering with these veteran nonprofit organizations, focusing on improving mental health and wellness, especially with our troops, it's honestly a huge benefit. I have seen a lot of people rebound to as close to, I'm putting this in air quotes because it's you know, nothing's ever normal once you come back from war, you know, as normal as possible through some of these amazing programs. So, you know, it's something bigger than video games. It's something bigger than the console wars. And I, for one, really appreciate Microsoft going out of their way. And, you know, yeah, it's only $250,000, but that is still a lot of money that will go to help a lot of people. So I want to see more organizations do this. I want to see more companies do this. It is something that is near and dear to myself personally. I can't give enough kudos to Microsoft for teaming up with this cause.
Right. And outside of this cause in general, I think one of the things we're going to see more this decade is the fact that video games can probably be used in a sense like therapy. We see it more and more with music now. Music is becoming a sense of therapy. There's a collegiate program out there for music therapy. Video games is one of those things, like maybe you have PTSD as a military veteran. Maybe something like Call of Duty triggers it, or maybe you can use something like Call of Duty or a military shooter to start easing back into it, to realize you're no longer in that situation, how we can use those in a therapeutic sense. And I think that's one thing, as well as the fact that it allow them to escape, and maybe they want to play something completely fantasy-oriented, like a Final Fantasy, or like whatever game doesn't involve guns, just to escape the idea of it and to find themselves in another world thinking about a different storyline. So I think there's a lot of different things that can be used properly or used to a creative sense in the therapy realm as well once this decade continues on. And one organization out there owned by Microsoft as well, Ninja Theory, they have done a very, very good job discovering mental health. One of their popular games, Hellblade: Senua's Sacrifice, was one of the biggest, highest acclaimed mental health games out there, just because of the way they dove into like voices in someone's head and trying to fight against yourself, really, in the outside world. So we're going to see Hellblade 2 come out next year. Ninja Theory is also working on a couple other projects in the mental health space. So I think as Microsoft continues to put money not only toward things for handicapped gamers, whether they be military or not, with things like the adaptive controller, the mental health state as well, and diving money or putting money into these games as they dive further into the research of mental health, mental development, and the ways that games can help that in a therapeutic sense as well as a development sense. So I'm excited to see how this goes. But again, kudos to Microsoft and all the other gaming organizations out there that continue to support causes like this. On a lighter level, Microsoft has also partnered up with Samsung in a strategic gaming partnership. This is a really interesting move, John, because we've seen Microsoft now, they've partnered up with Sony, they have partnered up with rumored Nintendo, they have partnered up with SK Telecom. Yeah, it is SK Telecom is the actual company name, and now Samsung as well in the cloud gaming space. This partnership with Samsung is set to involve the creation and implementation of premium cloud-based streaming experiences. So we'll have to see what this means, John. To me, this is something to do with Galaxy phones more than anything, maybe TVs as well. How can we continue to develop our cloud-based gaming space with maybe smart TVs under Samsung's umbrella, maybe some of the Samsung Galaxy phones and tablets? I think this is a really good move by Microsoft continuing to lock up these names, especially as not quite the regular streaming wars, but the cloud-based streaming wars intensify, with Google Stadia not doing so well, but still backed by Google. They're looking at exclusive deals in that area. Apple's doing their own thing as well with the Apple Arcade. Not quite cloud-based streaming or gaming, but they're continuing to be a big player in the space. NVIDIA just released NVIDIA GeForce Now. So there's a lot of different services out there. Microsoft still continue to look for those partnerships to continue to put theirs ahead as it's set to release later this year.
Yeah, I'm just still not sold on cloud-based gaming. And I think Google Stadia has put an even more of a sour taste in my mouth in regards to it. But, you know, I mean, if anyone can do it, it's going to be Microsoft. And Samsung makes some amazing electronical products. Electronical, is that even a, you know?
No, but I love it.
Makes some amazing products that, you know, I like this partnership. There is a lot of potential here. You don't want to try to reinvent the wheel. You want to make the wheel better. And I feel like Google Stadia tried to reinvent the wheel. And I pressed my space bar to jump in one of my Google Stadia games. And I'm still waiting for my avatar to jump. So hopefully by the end of this episode, he'll actually would have jumped up to the box I'm trying to get on top of real quick. So we'll see if that actually happens. But, you know, I'm still hesitant with cloud-based gaming. But I do think if anyone can do it, it's going to be Microsoft teaming up with an electronics powerhouse like Samsung.
Boys, I'm here to tell you cloud-based gaming is going to be a big, big thing this second. I am 100% in. Yeah, input lag is definitely a factor, but I think there's a few things you have to look at here. One, 5G. 5G is not completely rolled out yet. It is going to be a huge improvement over what we have right now as far as cellular devices. You're looking at them partnering up with SK Telecom over in Asia. They're going to have a huge rollout in that partnership. Now you have Samsung as well in the device space. You already have partnerships with Razer too. Again, I know John's not the biggest Razer fan out there, but the products that they have released so far for the cloud-based stuff looks pretty decent. And I'm also thinking people that can't afford PCs, John. Like when we look at someone that's not willing to spend, what do you say, $1,000 for a base PC to play a lot of the games right now? Like to play some of the newer stuff?
I mean, if you want to play with the best graphics and best performance possible, yeah. But you can get a decent gaming PC that will run on medium settings for, you know, $400 or $500. I mean, you're not looking at like the most premium parts out there, but it's still doable.
So you're looking at $400, $500 there. It's similar to a console. So maybe you just go the Xbox or PlayStation route there as well, or even the Switch. But now with that being said, if you do want to play those newer games and maybe you don't want to pay for every single one of those games and the hardware, now you're going to have alternatives. You're going to have stuff like with Project X Cloud, it's most likely going to be paired with Game Pass. So you get all those Microsoft exclusive games as well as all the deals they make with Game Pass. With NVIDIA, you have a number of different developers out there that have bought into the NVIDIA GeForce Now experience. And then you can play it completely. You can play it on your TV. You can play it on your old computer. You can play it on whatever, be it your mobile device even, and you can do it without making that hardware adaption up front, as well as the fact that you might not have to purchase those games because of the monthly subscription. Now, us millennials and everyone out here, we love our monthly subscriptions, and they are adding up, ladies and gentlemen, between the Netflix and the Amazon Prime and all of these other deals like Spotify. So it's going to be one of those other things you're going to have to make a choice between if you want to go this route as opposed to paying that money up front for hardware and software. So we'll have to see how it all develops. I do think cloud-based gaming is going to be a very, very huge thing as we go forward, especially with how much subscription services have picked up. And the other thing that a lot of gamers deny is mobile gaming. There are people out there, John is a great example, he is not the biggest fan of mobile gaming, but he cannot deny the fact that it continues to bring more and more people into the gaming space. There are more and more downloads every single year. The numbers continue to rise. The revenue numbers are freaking off the charts in rising year over year. So when you look at that space and now you're going to pair it up with possibly console and PC strength of games, at least graphically speaking, at least developmentally speaking, I think there's a lot of different areas that cloud-based gaming could grow. Again, I don't think it happens in 1 to 2 years and we're going to still have products like Stadia out there, but give it a few years under their belt, give it the power of Microsoft, Google, Amazon, all these different big players out there. I think cloud-based gaming will be huge in 5 years. The other thing with that, so Microsoft and Apple partnered up a little bit here. They began to roll out Project X Cloud's beta. It went out to 1,000 iPhone users via the iOS test flight preview. I am one of those lucky 10,000, but thanks to this beautiful wrist issue, I have not given it a try yet, so I will have to report back on that next week. But it looks really clean. The app is gorgeous. It looks very nice. The only thing that they were able to work out with Apple so far was to put the Master Chief Collection on there. They do not have console streaming, so one of the options will be to stream from your home console. The other option is to stream completely from Microsoft's cloud servers. So with this one in particular, it's just the cloud servers and it's just Halo Master Chief. We'll have to wait and see how all that develops. Hopefully I'll have time to test it next week. Whew, This is a lot on today's show. NVIDIA GeForce Now released this past week. Again, one of those cloud-based gaming services, and we just dove a lot into that, so we won't dive a ton more into it. But one of the big things to look at here is Activision Blizzard. Already within the first week of NVIDIA launching their new service, good old Activision Blizzard has come through, and they have pulled out all of their games on the platform. They have said, no, 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 NVIDIA. No Heroes of the Storm, no World of Warcraft, no Call of Duty. It is gone. And the reasoning behind it, at least if rumors are to be believed, is they are expected to announce an exclusivity deal with Google Stadia, John. So now you can play your Call of Duty and World of Warcraft with a little extra lag.
But when I pulled the trigger 5 seconds ago, it would have hit him.
Ugh.
I don't know if I like this move.
I don't.
Look. I agree with you. I think cloud-based gaming is going to be huge, but I think right now the technology is still not there, and I think there's still too many question marks, you know, before we can really put a crown on the idea of cloud-based gaming. I want to believe in it, Joey. I have high expectations, but so far, kind of like Clash Royale League, not off to a great start.
Yeah, I think one of the things for me with the whole cloud-based gaming thing, like I said, I think it's going to be here in 5 years. I think we're a little early, but Activision, I feel like, is jumping the gun pulling this deal. Like, there's a lot of money in exclusive contracts. They obviously put a huge one together with YouTube, moving their content for Overwatch League and Call of Duty League over from Twitch to YouTube. But at the same point, John, like, if I'm Activision Blizzard here, I want to look at the Riot Games model. League of Legends continues to grow player base after player base. Same with CSGO. Why do you want to start pulling your game from platforms? If NVIDIA and Google Stadia and Microsoft or Project X Cloud is going to allow me to pull in more World of Warcraft players, to pull in more Overwatch players, yeah, they might have a bit of lag and it might drive people crazy, but you're going to get that with Google Stadia anyway. I want to put it on every single platform. Yeah, you're going to make more money in the short term with these long-term exclusivity deals, but at the same point, if this rumored deal goes through, I'm kind of thinking it's better just to have players. More players allows for more games to be played. It allows for more possible relationships between gamers to be made. It allows for more players in general, so your queue times are shorter. Like, I just see so many more positives than taking a lump sum up front. I mean, we're already seeing issues with people taking lump sums up front with a lot of these deals. This, to me, is another shot in the foot, and I guess Google paid a lot of money to make this move. At the same point, like, I don't know, Google. I don't know if this is the right deal. And shout out to Viking Bear. It's been a little while, buddy, but nice seeing you in chat tonight. In other news, John, this one I'm really excited for, actually. I'm, like, stunned excited. So Ubisoft, we talked about them a little bit and some of the details that they're going to bring to E3 based on their earnings call on the stock market last week. Now we have a little bit more detail on what one of those possible titles is going to be. One of those two titles that we did not have a title for yet is now named Prince of Persia, The Dagger of Time, if rumors are to be believed. Well, this is official. We just don't know if it's one of those two titles or not. John, this is going to be a VR escape room game based on the Prince of Persia IP. It's going to have 2 to 3 or 4 players. They're going to team up and work together to solve puzzles and find a way to get out of a reimagined Fortress of Time. I don't know if this is just me. I'm not a big VR player. I don't own VR equipment. I'm not that interested in VR at this point. But the idea of escape room VR, this to me sounds like a ton of fun. Like, could you imagine this on, like, a boardwalk or on, like, a mall, something like that? Like, people come in, you hop this in. Instead of having the escape room, you're paying for a smaller space, or you can even do this in your home. Like, have you had an escape room experience?
No, my anxiety would go through the roof.
We need to do one. We're going to have an OTN escape room. It's going to happen.
Yeah, I mean, look, if you have claustrophobia, which is more than just being trapped in a small place, it's being trapped with the fear of not being able to get out. If you have that in real life, now you can have it virtually in your own home also. So just make sure someone's there when you have a panic attack. Look, I think the idea is cool. I want to see VR-based games grow even more than, you know, kind of the limited library we currently have. I want to see the gatekeeping of the equipment needed to run VR drop a little bit to open it up to the community a little bit more. I think that will really spearhead the VR community and the gaming industry to make VR games. But as much as my anxiety is already rising on the idea of this, I think it's a great idea. Escape rooms are incredibly popular, and you know, I'm not going to make the comment saying, oh, well, if you have money to go to an escape room, you have the money to do it virtually also, because let's be honest, escape room, $20, VR, $400. So probably not, but I like the idea. Ubisoft is a great company that could possibly pull this off, and I think it's a great idea, and I will watch to see how this develops, and I might go over to a friend's house that has a VR set and try it out myself if he so decides to get it. Virtual anxiety. Not a fan of that.
Okay, now I know most of our listeners here listen via the podcast format, like 99% of you. But for those of you in chat, give me some love here. VR, escape room, I think that's the way to go. What does chat think? What do you guys think? Like it? No, not so like it? I mean, the other thing I'm thinking about, John, is the other Ubisoft IPs. I mean, you look at, could you imagine like a Rainbow Six escape room? You could even have action-based. It could even feel more like a Time Crisis game. Watch Dogs would be tons of fun. Like, there are so many great IPs out there that I think could be really fun for like an escape-level experience. Like, you might not even have to confine it to a room. You can bring it out there in the wild, like Ghost Recon Wildlands. Like, you're hating this. I'm loving this.
Joey, I'm seeing the next evolution of VR gaming is going to include a vest that when you actually take a shot from that Rainbow Six VR game, that the vest pulsates in the area you got shot in, so you can actually feel the virtual pain in your side. Like, you show up to work and you're black and blue the next day, be like, oh, someone reached level 16 in Rainbow Six VR the other day. It's like I'm seeing this whole thing evolve, and I am sorry, I am not happy about this.
I think it would be so much fun.
I mean, look, I would still probably play it, and I think it would be an absolute adrenaline rush. But I am 100% down, like, if this ever, like, comes to fruition, like, mainstream wise, I am totally down to try this.
Yeah, I think it could be loads of fun. And I'm sure they already have vests out there. Like, I remember.
Oh, probably.
Probably a decade ago, they had, like, racing chairs or, like, gaming chairs that laid on the ground.
Oh, yeah.
Or, like, if you got shot from certain sides, it would vibrate. So I'm sure they've done vest versions.
Oh, no. I want a full punt. Like, if I'm in a melee fight and I'm getting lit up, I want to feel the punches in my rib cage. I want, like, if someone pops me in the face, I want to go to work with the black eye the next day. Like, that's how realistic I want it to get.
Okay, so let me just. Okay, so you don't want to be locked in a virtual room that you only have to take a headset off for,
yep.
But you want to be punched.
Yes.
I think there's something wrong with you, sir.
You know what? I would have to agree with that. It's a very observant statement there, sir.
What an experience. Well, catch John and I playing a little VR someday in the future, hopefully, escaping the Prince of Persia. What was this? The Fortress of Time. So we'll have to see how that comes along. Again, it's one of those things where, like, we really haven't seen the VR space take off a ton yet. You've had stuff like Beat Saber that's incredibly popular. You've had a few horror games do really well. But overall, the space is still trying to find its footing. Obviously, the new Valve title coming out in March is supposed to help that a bit. But as that price continues to go down and as people come up with these more creative ideas, I think something like an escape room could be one of those titles that starts putting more VR consoles out there in households. And that's really what VR needs right now. If it wants to continue to just continue to grow at this early stage, it needs to find ways to put those consoles and those pieces of pieces of product in different houses, like butts and seats at stadiums, product in houses for VR. That's what they need to do. And I think something like an escape room where tons and tons of people are already going to those experiences in person, maybe this is one way to start opening that up, especially in family environments. You saw stuff like the Nintendo Switch and the Nintendo Wii do extremely well because they took that family approach. Again, Prince of Persia might not be that exact game to take that family approach, but something like an escape room that you're already going to with your grandparents or your parents or your sisters, your brothers, your cousins, this could be another way to start bringing those people in. Liquid Hungry Box, most known for his amazing Smash play, he politely called out Nintendo this past weekend for their lack of support in the competitive Smash scene. Yeah, I did put politely on there because I think he did a really good job. If you're looking at a way for a person to call out a company, I don't think it can be better than the way Hungry Box did it. He came out there. He's like, look, Nintendo, this scene continues to grow. We're trying our hardest out there, but it'd be great to have some support. And I mean, he was just very open. There were tons of people watching. It was like, I think it was like 150,000 people. I don't have the numbers in front of me, but a lot of people were watching the stream for the event. And he came out here and did this. And I really think it was the most polite way that it could have been done. Because really, people can just yell at Nintendo. They have done a terrible job of supporting the Smash scene since Melee, since Brawl, since Ultimate even now. They sometimes throw some prize pool money out there. They don't really do any marketing for it, even though marketing for Nintendo would be so easy to do. It's one of those things where these players want to promote their game. They want to promote the scene. They want everything to succeed under the Nintendo umbrella here, but Nintendo is just not really giving that support. I think Hungrybox did a good job of calling them out. I think it will fall on deaf ears, potentially, just like it has in the past. At the same point, I think if Nintendo buys into the scene, Smash could become even that much bigger on the fighting game community. Anything else there? No one's throwing crabs at anyone at the Smash event.
No, not yet.
Hey, looking at last week's results, so we did have that Smash Summit, and we did see Hungrybox end up on top. That was Smash Summit 9, and that's how he ended up with the microphone at the end. A really well-deserved victory over Plup there in the finals, with C9 Mango ending in third for that event. Over to the Rainbow Six Siege World Finals. John, did you catch any of this?
I did not. I was actually incredibly busy this past weekend.
John was incredibly busy this past weekend, but so were the players on the Rainbow Six Siege stage. We did end up seeing Space Station Gaming taking down Nip in that one 3-2. Nip, for those of you who do not know, is Ninjas in Pajamas, one of the best names out there in esports. They did win the 6th Invitational in the World Finals here. John, this event, and this is one of those really big credits to Rainbow Six Siege, we've praised them for the last couple of years. They continue to deserve praise. They had over 200,000 concurrent viewers for this World Final this past weekend. It's one of those games where, yeah, it didn't have the greatest start out there. And now it wasn't like No Man's Sky, like completely off the map on its start. But it was one of those games where it was just another Rainbow Six game, just like another Call of Duty game. But as they've continued to develop their esports scene, they've taken in a lot of the positives from other scenes. Crowdfunding, they are one of the early adopters of crowdfunding in their game, via skins, via charms, via different aspects that you can bring into the game as far as customizable looks. And they've continued to support that. They've continued to pay back those organizations in that way, allow those organizations to find ways of funding themselves other than just winning prize pools. I think that's a huge credit to Rainbow Six. The game itself, they've continued to support. I believe we're in like season 4, I want to say it's season 4, year 4, as far as Rainbow Six goes. So it's been around for a little while. The content continues to come. We've looked at some games that have not done the greatest job out there of keeping content up in this live service era. Rainbow Six is not one of them. They've continued to bring new operators. They've continued to bring new maps. And as they continue to develop and give this crowdfunding share, more esports organizations are going to invest into it. We talked about Fortnite earlier, how organizations did not see the return. It's the exact opposite with the Rainbow Six scene. I can't remember a team leaving in the last 6 months. I can remember a ton of teams joining. So this is one of those really big growing scenes. Space Station Gaming taking the win here. Another big highlight of the event was Fnatic's run. Fnatic is a team based out of Australia for the Rainbow Six squad. They ended up taking down some of the biggest favorites in the tournament. They beat Team Empire and FaZe Clan in the group stage. And then they went on to take down G2 Esports, who was one of the tournament favorites as well, before falling to TSM. So really exciting action there. If you guys have a chance to look back at the tournament, it was one of the hypest esports events I've seen in the last 6 months. So definitely check that out and keep an eye on the scene because it's just going to continue to grow. Okay, John, with that, let's head on over to the Overwatch League, which was cut short this past weekend. So we ended up having the Battle of Brotherly Love up in Philadelphia for some of the East Coast teams, as well as some teams that are a little farther out from the East Coast. But on top of that, we did end up having some movement over in the Asian scene. I don't remember who was supposed to host it this week, if it was Seoul or if it was Hangzhou. But one of the Chinese teams or Korean teams over there ended up getting it cut short due to the coronavirus outbreak that's happening over in Asia right now, as well as throughout the rest of the world, but the major points being in Asia. So because of that, the Overwatch League has had to change its schedule up a bit. Some of those matches that were scheduled to happen here in week 2, 3, and 4 are now going to happen later on in the weeks. I believe one of them is going to be repeated in 4 or 5, while some of the other ones will be spread out, of course, other weeks. So with that being said, it was cut short, but we did have some great matches. On Saturday, February 15th, we had the Mayhem of Florida taking on the Houston Outlaws. The Mayhem won that one 3-0. And we had our hometown Washington Justice in 2 back-to-back matches. On Saturday, they lost to the Fusion 1-3. A very, very close match. Ark had a really cool play in that one where he back-capped on the Temple of Anubis to end up tying up the series. Unfortunately, the Justice did fall in that one to the Fusion on that map. Then on Sunday, February 16th, the Justice went 3-0 against the struggling Houston Outlaws, who looked like they could just not they could not get their gun out of the holster, John. They were struggling very hard this weekend. They're one of those teams that a lot of people expected to build on some of the momentum from last season. It did not happen. The Spurs were not on the boots, and it did not look pretty. And then the Florida Mayhem got 3-0'd by the Fusion at the end. So causing mayhem day one, getting mayhem caused upon them in day two. So a lot of interesting takeaways, John. I think one of the biggest ones for you and I is the fact that we have been hyping the Justice up. We think they're a top eight team, while a lot of people are ranking them around the 13 to 15 range. I think the fact that they went toe-to-toe with Philly, yeah, 3-1 doesn't look the best in the end, but the fact that they continue to push them and that easily could have been a five-game series, I think is a lot of credit to us finding this Justice talent.
I mean, it's not like, you know, we live in the D.C. area and we're – I mean, look, we come from a very unbiased perspective. Yeah, we have a chance to kind of see the team a little bit more, kind of study what's going on. You know, and this is – you know, to be fair, some of these National Overwatch League people – that kind of look at everything as a whole, kind of have a very generic look. They look at the roster and they say, okay, the only two names on here that really stand out that I can remember from last season in stage four is Corey and Stratus, because they absolutely popped off and they lost some other big names. But other than that, you know, they kind of just kind of dismiss them because they made a ton of roster moves. A lot of organizations, maybe they didn't make, you know, a full roster overhaul. You know, or maybe they did. They're still giving those organizations more credit than the Washington Justice for some crazy reason. I'm honestly a little confused, but going 3-1 against the Philadelphia Fusion, like, yeah, they still lost, but they played incredibly well against a team that a lot of people have high expectations for in the Fusion. So I see that as a stepping stone. It is a good step forward, and they won their second game in convincing fashion. So I'm looking forward to next weekend, when DC's actually going to host the Overwatch League at the beautiful Anthem on the Wharf in DC, and they're going to have an opportunity, I think, to win two games in that homestand.
So what are some other games you're looking forward to in that homestand coming up in DC this next weekend?
So just to kind of give a quick overview, it's going to be it's going to start at 3 p.m. Eastern time, so please adjust accordingly for your time zone. It's going to be New York Excelsior versus the Philadelphia Fusion, Boston Uprising versus the Outlaws, Paris Eternal, Washington Justice, followed by the next day, Sunday. It's going to be a two-day event starting at 3 p.m. on Sunday as well. The Excelsior versus the Outlaws, Toronto Defiant against the Fusion, and the London Spitfire versus the Justice to close that out. Obviously, I'm going to be watching all of these with a big, intense focus on the Justice, as that is a team I am supporting. But really, you can't ignore the Philadelphia Fusion. I want to see them go up against the New York Excelsior. New York Excelsior, really the only consistent team all three seasons so far. Philadelphia Fusion, a team that has kind of started at the bottom in season one and really worked their way up as an organization, really putting together a solid team throughout the seasons now into season three, a very competitive team. That's the one that I'm really interested in, is that first matchup, the Excelsior versus the Fusion, 3 p.m. That is going to be Saturday, February 22nd, if I had to pick one that did not have the Justice in it.
Yeah, Jenna, I think I have to agree. Like, if you can only watch one day of these games or only attend one day of these games in person, I think Saturday, February 22nd is the way to go. The New York Excelsior up against the Philadelphia Fusion, I think, are both two top five teams. I think that's going to be a really high-level game. Boston Uprising and Houston Outlaws, on the other hand, I think are toward the bottom level. They're two of those teams that have looked up and down in the first couple seasons. How are we going to see them continue to advance here? How do we see them develop, especially Houston after that rough week two going on there? And then the Paris Eternal and Washington Justice. These are two teams, again, that a lot of people are placing around the mid-tier, mid to high tier, let's say. You and I obviously placing the Justice a bit higher, but I think it'll be interesting to see, well, this Paris team that a lot of people are crediting and giving some credit to, how does the Justice fare up against them? I think the Justice win here. At the same point, I think New York Excelsior Philly is going to be the match to watch. But again, Saturday, February 22nd, has got a full slate of good games.
And also, if you are in the D.C. area, and I'm gonna include Philadelphia, our friends to the north, and even down south to Richmond, North Carolina, you know, even into Ohio. Guys, you're only a six-hour drive from D.C. You're really not that far. Tickets to this event this upcoming weekend are still available. You can get a one-day pass for as low as $30. That is $10 per game for one day. That is a steal. Plus, you're going to be in an iconic music and entertainment hall in the Anthem in a beautiful part of Washington, D.C. on the Wharf with some amazing restaurants in the area as well. You're walking distance to almost everything in D.C. if you want to make a weekend out of it. Guys, I cannot tell you how awesome enough it is. Awesome enough. How amazing it is to attend one of these events in person. And for $30, if you're local, if you don't have to travel too far, it is such a deal to try to go to at least one day. Go to 2 days. $70 for 2 days. That is an amazing deal. Like, honestly, definitely check it out if you haven't already. And if you can't go, obviously, all these games are going to be on YouTube Gaming for the Overwatch League with that deal that Blizzard made with YouTube Gaming. No longer on Twitch, so definitely pay attention to that if you're tuning in. YouTube Gaming for what is going to be a pretty fun weekend of Overwatch in week 3.
Absolutely. And where are you looking at tickets, by the way?
So the tweet from the Washington Justice is what I'm going off of when they lowered it down to the one day for $30.
Yeah, because right now the only thing I'm seeing on Ticketmaster is 110 is the lowest. But I think that might be a weekend pass, and I'm not seeing the easiest way to sort. So maybe the direct link from the Overwatch League site is only the weekend pass. So if you cut 110 and a half, 50, $60. So around there. Either way, definitely worth it, guys. We went to one in Atlanta. It was very fun. We know the Justice will deliver. We have a lot of friends over at that organization, and we know they are going to absolutely kick this weekend out of the sky. It's going to be gorgeous, just like we see those Pharah ults coming on down and raining on the people of D.C. with the Justice coming in. I don't know. I'm like, where am I going to go with this?
I almost went into like my bomb shelter in the backyard when I heard rockets firing down on D.C.
Oh, you mean the one I turned into an escape room?
Yeah. Oh, stop it, you terrible person.
But seriously, guys, Justice are going to kill this. They're going to knock it out of the park. It's going to be a ton of fun. Definitely check that out. Anthem, again, this Saturday, February 22nd, as well as Sunday, February 23rd. If you're not local, that's all right. You can go check the games out on YouTube Gaming after Activision signed that deal with YouTube, so those will be up there as well. With that, John, let's transition a little bit here. Move on over from the Overwatch League to the LEC LCS, where we have to talk about our fantasy LCS battle from this past weekend, the Battle of the Co-Hosts, round one.
We don't have to talk about it.
Round one went to yours truly, Courtside King. Yes, that's right. I took down John. It was 307.56.
Say my team name.
What is it? Courtside Boomer?
Thank you.
So I am Siver Me Tibbers. Yeah, little pun, hey. Go figure, I'd come up with a pun for a team name.
Shocker.
So 307 to 286 in our first matchup again. I believe John and I face each other at least one more time this season, probably in the playoffs as well.
It's the very last week that we go up against each other again.
And then we'll probably repeat that again, possibly, in the playoffs. So it could be a level up grand final. We'll have to see that. We have some great competitors, some of those in chat tonight. So we'll have to see how those matches play off, but at least round one will go to me. So I'll see you in the last round there, John. Outside of that, I think fantasy is going pretty well this season. We're using a new platform. We're using Draft Buff. For those of you who do not know, Riot Games is still developing their fantasy platform, and it's been in development for 2 years now. So we're waiting to see how that one goes. But Draft Buff has stepped in. It's been pretty decent. They've added some nice stats here and there week by week. So I'm excited to see how that continues to develop. If you guys are still looking for fantasy action, go ahead and check out Draft Buff as well. Use code LEVELUP to get on there. We really don't have a code with them, but maybe one day. Anything else on fantasy, John?
No.
Okay, beautiful. Let's talk standings then. Over in the LEC, what do our standings look like?
It's Europe, Joey, so of course we have a bunch of ties in first place. Not only is Origin and G2 and Misfits tied in first place in a three-way tie, but there's also another three-way tie in fourth place between Rogue, Mad Lions, and some team called Fnatic, yeah, we'll go with that. Though they're at 5-3, Joey, that's not first place. Even though it's only one game out, so I'll give you that. Excel Esports, 7th place at 4-4. SK Gaming, 2-6-8. Schalke, 0-4. Well, they're not 0-4, I'll give them that, but they're 1-7. And Team Vitality, well, you know, 0-8 isn't too bad, right, Joey? It's pretty bad. They're not doing so hot, but they do have a perfect record. So they're the only ones in the EU, pardon me, in the LEC, that has a perfect zero on their record. Still just happens to be in the win column.
What a wacky week for LEC action.
So weird.
Origin obviously moving into the top seed here, but G2, I believe, wins out on a tiebreaker. So G2 Esports, they went 0-2 this week. This is the G2 team that went to the Worlds Final last year. They ended up returning the same roster. Again, they lost to a Chinese team in the final, but they had no issues getting to the final. They took down SK Telecom. They took down Fnatic regionally to get there, and they took down a number of other powerhouse teams en route to that final. This year, this week, they dropped to Misfits, who is now 6-2, and they also dropped a game to the winless Schalke. John, this is a team that is going through so much turmoil. They had Forgiven, their veteran AD carry, returning from Greek military service. He came in. Everyone thinks God-given has returned, and he looks like trash. Now they're out here. He is on the bench. He made a statement that he probably shouldn't have, and I think it's going to trash the rest of his career, but that's to be said another time. But when we look at this Schalke team, they're going through a lot of turmoil. They're trying to figure out, do they want veteran players in this position? Do they want to bring in new talent? Do they want to try something new? You're currently sitting at 0-7. What do we do from this point forward? Well, we go get our first win against the champion and the world's finalist from last year in G2. Like, what in the world is going on, LEC? This one surprised a ton of people. If anyone had a bet on this, I can't imagine what the odds were. This was an absolutely miracle victory from Schalke, and they look good doing it. I mean, this wasn't just G2 falling over. This was Schalke really pushing forward as a newer roster, in a sense, bringing in some new talent as well. So big congratulations to them. Again, it doesn't make me think Schalke is going to be a powerhouse team next week, but it does show some hope for those Schalke fans out there as well. On the other side, we did see Fnatic lose to Mad Lions. I actually had Fnatic losing this matchup. I think Mad Lions is a really strong team, them and Rogue both. I really like Rogue and Mad Lions to end up in that 4-6 range this year for playoffs. I think both of those teams have a lot of potential with young rosters. I mean, if you look at Rogue, Han Sama is kind of your veteran over there, but on the top side of the map, you have a rookie in Finn, or pretty much close to a rookie. You have Larson in the mid lane and also Inspired in jungle. I think there's a lot of young talent on this Rogue lineup, and I have very high expectations for them. Same with Mad Lions. I think Shadow's done a great job in the jungle. The mid lane, I think, is all right, but I really like the talent of the bot lane as well, down there with Karzi and Kaiser, and I think he also goes by a glitchy something. Anyway, I'm going to call him Kaiser for the sake of this argument. He's been really great pairing up with Karzi, who's an extremely talented ADC mechanically. So both these teams keep an eye on. Again, I think what we have right now, John, is going to be our top six for LEC if I had to predict right now. That being Origin, G2, Misfits, Rogue, Mad Lions, and Fnatic. I do not think that'll be the final order, but I do think these will be our final teams, with the potential of Excel making their way in there as well.
Yeah, and I think if you are a person who enjoys a very competitive league where a good portion of the league is in almost the same level as each other, LEC is definitely one to watch. I agree with you, Joe. I think that top six that we just went over is going to be your final top six, but not in that order as well. But that is such a competitive league. So that is something that if you're looking for good competitive esports, and maybe you're not into League of Legends, maybe you're looking to get into League of Legends, LEC is definitely a region to start with, because it is so, I mean, it's more even than it is in the LCS. Right now, the LCS is kind of a little wacky, but the LEC definitely more competitive at the moment, and some really good matchups coming up next week as well.
Looking ahead to those matchups next week, John, I have a few to highlight. Two of those being the Fnatic matchups. Fnatic is one of those teams that's looked a bit shaky, especially in the jungle and support role so far this season. They've also had dominant performances. They're now going to be tested against two top five teams, in my opinion, or two top six teams in Rogue and Origin. Origin had their number in the first game. I believe Fnatic, if they played Rogue already, I think they won. If they haven't, I think this will be a very good matchup regardless. Rogue is going to be one of those teams that pushes them, allows them to explore their limits, especially in the mid lane and top lane positions. And then on the opposite side with Origin completely controlled Fnatic in their first game they played to kick off the split. Origin would not let them take any of the team fights they wanted. I think this is going to be one of those games where we see how Fnatic has adapted so far throughout the split and how they approach Origin differently. The other matches to look at, Misfits and Rogue and Misfits and Mad Lions, I think are also going to be another really good matchup. Misfits is one of those teams similar to Fnatic where they've shown a lot of power in certain matchups and they've shown a lack of power in other matchups. I think Mad Lions is going to be a team as well as Rogue that's going to test them. So I really like both the Rogue matchups, both the Fnatic matchups, and both the Misfits matchups this week. I think there's a lot of middle-of-the-table talent here separated by one win, and I think a lot of that starts to get shifted out this week.
Just real quick before we hop on that magical pogo stick that I'm still keeping in retirement, Joey. Fion on Fire has tweeted out that Faker has signed a 3-year deal with T1 that will also make him part owner of the organization going forward. Why only a 3-year deal? Because that's the maximum Riot allows at the moment. So that is some new hot breaking news as of 48 minutes ago. There you go.
Wow, hot and breaking 48 minutes ago. Love it. Over to the LCS. Running it down. Cloud9, 7-0 in first place. Immortal, not quite Immortal. They got 3 losses on their record, but they are sitting in second, 5-3. Team Solo Mid, keeping that record even at 4-4. Dignitas, 4-4. The Golden Guardians, the team that everyone wanted to doubt, sitting at 4-4 as well. I'm going to say it here, John. I said they would not finish last place in the spring split. I thought they would be pushing up there. I didn't know if they'd make playoffs, but I thought they'd be around that 6 or 7 spot. They continue to show that they are willing to make those pushes. They are sitting in third place right now in that 3-way tie.
Just real quick, they're 1 loss away from being tied in 8th place. I'm not ready to crown them yet. I'm sorry.
I don't think they need to be crowned, but everyone looked at the split saying they're going to be winless. Everyone came in here saying Golden Guardians are not going to win a game. Well, suckas. They have won 4. I am behind this team. Again, I think there are changes I would make. Keith is one of those changes that I would have made earlier as far as putting Huhi in at support, but he has proven me wrong even that. I mean, he looked really good on Thresh. Keith is one of those players that's continued to evolve, moving from ADC to support. Again, I don't know if this is quite a playoff team, but I think they're one of those teams that can end in that 6-8 range. They can push for that final playoff spot coming toward the end. FlyQuest continues to plant trees. They are at 4-3. Team Liquid, looking a little liquid in the record department. They do have Broxah back. They dropped the first game, but they looked very clean in the second game with Broxah finally there, finally able to scrim with the team. Evil Geniuses, they've been doing a lot of plotting, but they're still sitting toward the bottom at 3-4. 100 Thieves, the only thing it seems like they are stealing is losses right now. And then Counter Logic Gaming, again, continuing to counter their own logic. I believe they did pick up a win this week, if I remember correctly, but they're one of those teams that we need to see more development from to get them out of the basement here. Over to the schedule for this upcoming week, John. So we do have some matches going right now as well. Monday Night League happening currently. We have FlyQuest and 100 Thieves still playing, and then Evil Geniuses and C9 playing as well after that. So a couple records may shift here and there as far as standings go, but at least for now, this is where we stand. Looking ahead to the week on Saturday, February 22nd, and Sunday, February 23rd, John, what matchups are we looking at?
So on Saturday, the one I want to highlight is Dignitas versus Immortals, because, you know, I can speak. Immortals currently sitting in second place. Granted, it's a distant second place, but still a very decent showing from them. Dignitas just 1 loss behind them in third place. Very solid matchup between 2 and 3 there in the rankings. I think that has the potential of being pretty good. The other one I'm going to point out also, Sunday, Cloud9 versus Immortals as well. I'm going to pick both Immortal matchups. I want to see, is Cloud9 needs a decent challenge. Can Immortals provide that challenge? Again, Cloud9 kind of running away with it just a little bit here with that 7-0 record. You know, thought maybe TSM might take it to them. Historically, Cloud9 has struggled against TSM in the regular splits versus playoffs. So, you know, TSM couldn't do it. No one has done it so far. Will Immortals be able to challenge Cloud9 and possibly hand them their first loss?
Yeah, I think there's definitely some good matchups. The other one to really look at for me right now is Evil Geniuses. They're one of those teams that they dropped a game to CLG, but then they came back and they won a game against IMT. They won a game against, who was the other big opponent they just beat? I don't remember who it was. But they're one of those teams where they've lost to the worst and they beat the best almost outside of C9. So what are they going to look like moving forward? They have some of that veteran C9 talent in a sense. over there with some of the players, but they've also shown that they're lacking in areas. So I really want to see how this Evil Geniuses team compares. Team Liquid is one of their matchups for this upcoming week. I think that could be a great measure, as well as TSM. These are two teams that haven't looked the greatest this year, but are traditionally powerhouse teams. How does this younger EG squad end up comparing against them? I think that's a cool one to look forward to as well. I think that wraps us up as far as League of Legends goes, John. We can catch some Monday Night League after this episode, but is there anything else you want to talk about gaming esports before we wrap up the show?
Joey, I have become addicted to FIFA and foot. It's not a good thing. Good friend Pat from Esports Fair Play is coaching me. Just sold probably my best player I'll ever get for almost 200,000 coins, and apparently I can build a decent squad with that. And yes, Squirrel is 100% correct in Twitch chat. Hide my wallet. I have still made the mistake of checking my updated spending on League of Legends. Don't want to talk about it. Way too much money for a free game. But yeah, having a lot of fun with it. A lot of a great competition online. I'm about, 6 months behind, it feels like, on FIFA 20. So playing a little catch up there, but having a lot of good time doing it.
Nice. I like it. So takeaway for this episode, listeners, John likes foot or feet. Maybe he's one of those people.
F-U-T, Joey. I even said FIFA. Do not try to... you know what? It's a family show. It's a family show. I'm going to keep it that way, Joey.
I, on the other hand, finally have my wrist back. I'm going to hopefully take off this brace either later tonight or later this week.
I have my wrist back because I show my hand in a brace on Twitch.
I can now put pressure on it. Look, huh? We have some bending. It's beautiful. We're making some movement, and I'm hoping to put a controller or keyboard and mouse in my hands here soon. We didn't talk about the Bleeding Edge beta, so we'll have to talk about that next week. But exciting stuff ahead. I'm excited to game with the OTN community again. Discord.me/OTN, guys.
Squirrel, do me a favor, clip that for me. The part where he says putting things in my hand. That's
okay.
Be fun.
Foot fetish over there. Let's get going.
All right. Nation, that is going to do it. I don't know how. That's going to do it for another episode of the Level Up Podcast. But before you go, head on over to patreon.com/OTN and consider becoming a part of the Overtime Network. In return, you will get access to exclusive content like Joey's wrist brace that nobody else in the world can get unless they are a part of the Overtime Network. If you enjoy listening to the Level Up Podcast, let us know. Leave us a review on Spotify, Stitcher, iTunes, and or Google Play. We would love to hear from you. In fact, we love to hear from all of our listeners so much we have other ways for you to interact with us. Joey, where else can the Level Up Nation go to interact with us and this show?
Level Up Nation, head on over to Instagram, Twitter, and or Facebook and find us at the Level Up Podcast. That is the LVLUP Podcast. In addition to that, find us streaming regularly on Twitch, twitch.tv/OTN_live. If you guys are Amazon Prime members, go ahead and look at using that Twitch Prime membership for us. We'd love to have your support in that way, as well as to talk about the Level Up show. Come join us live Monday night, 7 p.m. for that.
All right, make sure you tune in next week as we cover the latest and greatest in gaming and esports news. Do your ears a favor. Hit that subscribe button to know when the next episode of Level Up Podcast is ready for your listening pleasures. We will catch you all next week. Remember, be nice to your fellow gamers online. And as always,
Level Up.